I think at this point, Jason's dad jokes are grandpa jokes, but I don't know. You can check with him. Hat Man's been telling dad jokes since 1993. Can you believe that? Good morning. Hey, glad to see that you're here. A couple of quick housekeeping notes. There is no main kids this summer. We like to give our main kids volunteers the summer off. So there's still nursery workers. So if you have real little ones, babies, there is a place for them to go and be taken care of over there in the portables. But we're going to have main kids in here with us during the summer. And I'm really happy to have you. I see some of you here. If you need something to stay occupied a little bit, main kids, there are some little boards back there in the back, those little magnetic draw boards. You're welcome to go back there and grab one of those and use that, maybe take notes on it, see how that works. But we are super happy to have our main kids in the building. We're happy to give those volunteers a break. And I'm really excited for summer. Anybody else excited for summer? Parents are like, yeah, great, I got the kids home all the time. But with the summer comes a new summer series, and this year, our summer series, I'm very excited about. It is called Verses We Love to Ignore. So over the next 10 weeks or so, we're going to go over some verses that we love to ignore. Why do we love to ignore them? Because they're hard. And I don't know about you, but I don't like hard things. We don't like hard. But we're going to spend the summer doing hard things. Now, some of these verses are going to ruffle your feathers a little bit. They're going to rub you the wrong way. But that's okay. This, like Jason said, we're in a judgment-free zone, right? And I'm not just going to get up here and tell you this verse that you've been ignoring. We're going to walk you through what it means to apply that verse into your life so it doesn't get ignored. Jesus didn't come here to condemn us, did he? No, he came here to heal us, to save us. So in that same light, we're not going to bring you in here and say, oh, you've been ignoring this verse. No, it's, I've probably been ignoring this verse too. So let's figure out a better way that we can all pay attention more. All right? Is that all right with y'all? Sound good? Good. One of the benefits of being on staff here at West Main is I get to see, Mike gets to see Jason's notes like a week, 2 weeks early. Right? That helps me when I'm the one starting a new series like this, it really helps me to see his notes and to kind of make sure I'm in the same vein as he is, in the same idea, that way our sermons kind of flow with each other, right? It makes sense that they want to go together. So with that being said, thank you, Jason, for the help with the sermon notes. And you get a little sneak peek this week about what he's going to be talking about next week. So first sermon note of the day is going to be words have tremendous power. We say this, Jason tells me this, on average, probably once a week. It's really important to remember because our words are the basis for what our relationships are going to look like with other people. The words that you choose to use define what's coming out of your heart. Right? Words are very important. And today's word is a really controversial word. It's a word that we see and we think is a bad word, and probably for good reason, but today's word is gossip. Yeah, here's some chuckles, here's some hmms. The Bible has some strong warnings when it comes to gossip, and we will get to those in a minute. But first, an epic tale of a giant horse. You're supposed to laugh. Just kidding. Go back in time with me for a little bit. We're going back to 1184 BC. So we're talking 3,000 plus years ago. Trojan War, Greeks and the Trojans. By this point, the Greeks have been trying to take over the city of Troy for about 10 years. They try and they fail and they try and they fail and they try and they fail. Why? Because the Trojans have this giant fortress around their city. State-of-the-art, best technology you could think of at the time, and it's keeping the Greeks out for all this time. So one day, the Greeks come up with an idea. Let's give up. So they make this giant horse about 2-3 stories tall, and they roll it up to the gates at night. And then they retreat. They leave. They get in their boats, and they take off. So the next morning, the Trojans wake up, and they look outside the gate, and they see this giant horse there, and they see that all the boats from the Greeks, that they're gone, right? And I like to think that the Greeks maybe left a little note on the horse that said, from the Greeks to the Trojans, our bad. Right? And so there's this gift. I mean, it's a gift for the Trojan army. And they see that they're gone, and they're like, that's kind of weird. They left a horse, but yeah, no doubt. Let's bring it in. So they bring it in, and they put it in the middle of the city, and then they start to celebrate. They have been defending their city for 10-plus years. And they are so happy that it's over. We can celebrate. And we got a giant horse on top of that. So they celebrate. They drink. They're merry. They're having a great time. And they let their defenses down because they think it's over. We have this beautiful gift. We're going to bring it in to our fortress behind our walls. And it's going to be okay. We're going to be safe. Everything's great. And then they fall asleep after partying, right? And when they fall asleep, you know what happens? Anybody know this story a little bit? I'm going to keep it G for the kids. Everybody in the city is destroyed. Dunzo. Finished. And just like that, the war is over. Or the war, the tides turn and the war is over. But think about that. The Trojans are celebrating this great gift that they think they have. And it turns out to be, well, what happens, they sneak out. There's Greeks in the, there's soldiers in the horse, if you didn't know that, sorry. There's soldiers in the horse, they come out at night and they take care of everybody in town. But imagine that, receiving this gift, thinking everything's great, sorry, slides are going funky over there. Receiving this gift, thinking everything's taken care of, and then that gift actually being the end, the destruction of you. Gossip is the same thing. I have a study Bible, and there's a section in it called Twisted Scripture. Not to be confused with a certain band, but it's called Twisted Scripture. And in it, there's dozens of different scriptures that have been twisted or changed, not necessarily the wording, but the idea of them. They've been taken out of context to further different agendas. And as I'm reading through these verses for today, I'm thinking, man, these verses on gossip could easily be called twisted scripture, because I think a lot of the times when we think of gossip, we think of someone spreading false truths about somebody else or unsubstantiated truths. You ever, does that sound right? That's just called lying. When you're telling truths that aren't truths, that's called lying. Gossip is a completely different thing. And I know when we're thinking, you know, as Christ followers, we always think, oh, I'm not going to break the big sins, right? We like to put sins at different levels because we're humans. We understand that some things are worse than others. And so we like to put lying pretty high up there, right? You all know not to lie, right? You're taught that in Sunday school. You probably taught that from up here. So we're good at not lying. But the truth, that should be good, right? The truth, we're told to walk in truth. We're told to protect truth. We're told to protect justice. So truth should be good, correct? I like how no one said no, because you know I'm about to flip the page and say no. Did you know that God really tells us that spreading someone else's truth is actually bad? That sharing somebody else's truth that wasn't meant to be shared is bad? That telling somebody else's secret is not what God means by protecting truth? Let's look at today's scripture that we love to ignore. Today we're going to be in the book of Proverbs, and the book of Proverbs is a book of wisdom. It was written by one of the most powerful, wealthiest, wisest men in history. His name is King Solomon. And I love Proverbs because it's full of just short, choppy, one or two word verses. Easy to read, really straight to the point, easy to understand. But since they're so short, sometimes they're easy to look over. You ever run into that problem where you want things to be, sometimes you want this long, drawn out thing from Scripture. Like, I need to be taught, I need to read all of Job today. Good luck. Sometimes we think that, sometimes less is more, right? Sometimes it's hard for us to comprehend all that. So we just need these short pieces of wisdom. That's where Solomon just comes in clutch. These are the words of God and how we're supposed to live life and deal with certain things. So if we look at Proverbs 20:19, it says, a gossip betrays a confidence. So avoid anyone who talks too much. Well, half of y'all are going to quit talking to me after this one. So let's take a closer look at that first word, gossip. The Hebrew word for gossip here is rakil or nirgon, which if I get that wrong, I'm sorry. But those are the two words in Hebrew. Synonyms for that are talebearer, slanderer, malicious whisperer. Another thing that we get wrong with the word gossip is we like to make it a verb. Right? Don't be gossiping. But here in the Bible and Scripture, it is clearly used as a noun. It's defining a type of person. And the Bible tells us that we should avoid these type of people, that we should avoid talebearers. I'm not talking tall talebearers. Tall tales, you know, Paul Bunyan and Johnny Appleseed. Remember those from when you were a kid? Those are tall tales, right? Bigfoot, probably not true. Tale bearers are truth bearers. And the problem is that as followers of Christ, there is a time to bear the truth, to make sure the truth is known, but there is a time to not. But we get stuck in this idea, I got to tell the truth. Something's going wrong, people got to know. Justice. Not quite. Here's different things that talebearers do. Talebearers spread rumors. Know anybody? Don't raise your hand. And if you can't raise your hand, good luck. They talk about others who are not around. Been there, done that. They create a narrative. Man, I had this really cool button that I was supposed to bring out, and I left it in the back. Maybe I'll get it out afterwards. It's pretty cool, but I'll show you later. Talebearers, they share other people's secrets. They don't share other people's lies at first. They share other people's truths. Something that has been entrusted to them by somebody else. But why do we do this? Why as humans do we have this need to tell other people's truths? You ever heard of the expression, knowledge is power? Again, something that we usually hear in a good context. Why should you go to school? Because knowledge is power. Why should you continue your education even when you're outside of school? Podcast, books. Why should you keep reading books? Because knowledge is power. There is another side to that saying. Sometimes our knowledge for something that we don't even need to know drives us because we want that power over somebody, over something, over some situation. You ever been there? Where you think, if I just knew this much more about this person, or if I just knew this much more about this situation, and I know that person knows something bad, let me go ask and see what they know. Good example of this is Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. They were doing fine, Adam and Eve were, right? Living in paradise with God, everything was good. And then Satan comes and Satan says, hey, that fruit over there, you eat it, you're going to know a lot. You're going to be smart. you're going to know all the stuff God don't want you to know. Can you imagine if you knew all that? Imagine how powerful you would be. Can you imagine the things that you could get done? Can you imagine the fun you would have? For us, can you imagine what people would think if they had to go to you to get that information? How popular you could be, how many friends you could have, because you would know everybody's business, and naturally we want to know everybody's business. And so what do Adam and Eve do? They eat that fruit, and we're done. But they know some stuff. Good trade-off, huh? But that saying, knowledge is power, we believe it, and we want to know more, even if in the back of our head we're like, I don't need to know this. Do you ever have conversations and in the middle of them you're like, I really don't need to know this about that person. I don't want to know this about that person. So what are the consequences of gossip? You can stay in Proverbs, and we look at Proverbs 16:28. It says, a perverse person stirs up conflict, and a gossip separates close friends. Gossipers destroy relationships, they destroy reputations, and they hurt the people whose secret they told the most. You can do so much damage by taking somebody's truth and broadcasting out to the world. When someone is confiding in you their truth, it is not your responsibility to run tell that to everybody. It's your responsibility to keep that confidence. See, gossip, it starts in the mind, right? We want to know this, but eventually it's going to make its way to your heart. It's going to change the way you treat people. It's going to change the ideas that you feed on. You're going to start feeding and looking for people to give you worth because of what you know. In Spanish, we have a word for gossip. It's called chismes. Anybody ever heard that word? Yeah? It's funny, when I first came on staff, we talked about maybe doing a Spanish service. Yeah, nobody wins in that situation if I were to try that. Y'all would laugh me off the stage with my Spanish. But point is, gossip, it changes you. It changes what you feel you're worth, and it changes from spreading truths to spreading lies really quickly. Because let's give everyone the benefit of the doubt and think that when we're spreading these truths as gossip, we're wanting to help. If you don't check your heart, that truth can turn into a lie very quickly. For an example of this, raise your hand if you were alive in the summer of 96. Yeah, I was 2. Anybody remember where the Olympics were that summer? Atlanta, Georgia, right? And during those summer Olympics in Atlanta, there was a bomb that went off at the Olympic Park, right? Y'all remember that? Remember a guy named Richard Jewell? So Richard Jewell was a security guard there at the Olympic Park that summer. And it was his night off. He wasn't even supposed to be there. But then he's there and he sees this backpack by a bench and it looks suspicious, right? And so he comes to the conclusion that's a bomb. So what does he do? He does what any good person would do, and he starts getting people out of the way. He starts evacuating everybody. And he gets most, there's thousands and thousands of people there. And he gets mostly everybody out of harm's way. Unfortunately, there's still about 111 people that got hurt that day, and even one person that died. But thanks to Richard Jewell, thousands were saved. And overnight, Richard Jewell becomes this hero. Anybody remember this? I'm sure you do. Richard Jewell becomes this hero. But then, of course, when something like that happens, the police have to question Richard, right? That makes sense. It sounds like standard procedure. And so they question Richard. And the newspaper, the media gets hold of it. that he's been talked to by the police. Just that, not the questions that have been asked, nothing, that just the police are talking to Richard Jewell. Well, duh, the dude just saved a ton of people. They probably need to talk to him. But what happens with that little piece of truth that the cops were talking to Richard Jewell? Yeah, 100%. But what happens with that little truth is that first news reporter goes and they bring it to their office and it starts making its way through the office. Hey, we're going to run a paper, a story on Richard Jewell. The cops are talking to him. This is hot stuff. Let's go. And as it works its way through that office, as it gets to the next office and it works its way through that office, story gets changed and tweaked. And by the time the next morning rolls around, what does the front page say? Richard Jewell, main suspect in the Olympic Park bombing. Overnight, Richard Jewell goes from a hero to a villain. From a hero to a murderer. And is there even any truth in what that headline read? Not really. So this narrative is created off of a truth that was changed into a lie, and it ruined his life. He was later, it was cleared of any charges, cleared of any suspicion later on. But do you think that mattered? His reputation was tarnished. I bet you, I don't bet, I cast lots. I would say that when I brought up the name Richard Jewell just now, for some of you, the first thought that came into your head was, bomb. He had something to do with it. Richard Jewell died before he was even 40. And you got to think some of that was brought on by going through all that. Feeling alone. Taking this guy that all he wanted to do was help people, and he did, and because people couldn't keep their mouth shut, ruined his life. It brings up the second part of our original verse, to avoid anyone who talks too much. I always tell our students, you are who your friends are. You are who your group of people are. You are who your tribe is. You're going to do what they do. Unless you actively try to change that and do good, which is what we're trying to do here, right? But if you passively just are with your friends, you're going to act just the way they do. God doesn't just tell us not to be a gossip, but also to avoid them. Because secondhand gossip is very, very dangerous. Do you remember playing the game Telephone? You ever heard of that game? The way it works is you get in a line with people, and starting at the front of the line, you have somebody, you give them a phrase, and they start to whisper it to the next person, and that person whispers it to the next person, and all the way down the line. And when you get to the end, you try to figure out what was said. So for example, it would start off, John likes candy. That's pretty simple, right? Well, by the time it goes through 15 people, sometimes by the time it gets through 3 people with our kids, they like to change stuff. It's going to get misunderstood. It's going to get changed on purpose. It's going to get changed on accident. And by the time you get to the end, John likes Mandy. Boom, gossip. Okay, I'm going to tell you what. I had a cool fake news button. Like, you could press it and it would say fake news. And I was totally going to. I even left a thing on my notes. Wait for laughter. Thanks. But just like that, quick. Even in a game. It's funny. I think that some of the games that we play with our kids are very good illustrations of what we can be like as adults. It's funny, I go through our lessons for our kids, for our youth group, and I stop and think, man, nothing changes when we get, the only thing that changes about us when we grow up is we get better at hiding certain things, or we get better about explaining away different sins, right? We get better at it. So just a quick illustration of how hanging out and grouping with the wrong people, even as adults, can lead us to bad habits such as gossip. Okay, I'm about to say a lot of names, and if you have the same name, I tried really hard. I went through the church directory and I made sure all the couples' names that I'm about to say weren't in the church directory. So these are all made up names, so just bear with me as we go through this. So let's say Dave tells his buddy Jim in confidence that he and his wife Ellen had a small argument. So there's Dave and Ellen. They had a small argument at home. Dave goes to his buddy Jim. He's like, hey man, this ever happened to you? It's not a big deal, but like, damn, just had an argument the other night. It was weird. Well, Jim goes and tells his wife, Sharon, the exact thing that he was told. Word for word. Doesn't change anything. Gossip. He shared a truth, did he not? Shared a truth. Which, still, not much damage has been done. We're still there. Well, then Sharon goes, and she tells her friend Betty. But she changes a little bit. It goes from they had a small argument to, man, they're having problems at the house. And then Betty goes to her husband, and she's like, did you hear about Dave and Ellen? They're thinking about divorce. Sounds like a stretch, but it's not. That's easy. That's four people. Your truth can become a lie. Your good intentions need to be based on Scripture. Because if you just go on good intent, your heart's going to deceive you. The world's going to deceive you. What's good for the world isn't always good for you. The point here is we have to be proactive, not just to avoid gossip, but to stop it. Proverbs 26:20 says, without wood, a fire goes out, and without gossip, a quarrel dies down. So what do we do to do not add to the fire that is the flame of gossip? What can we do? Number one, keep your friend's confidence. If someone tells you something, don't tell anybody else. That's pretty simple. I failed it too. I get it. Do not speak on what you do not know. If you're not sure if that's even happening, why are you going to talk about it? Avoid conversations and people that do fan the flame. We love to be heard and we love to talk and we love to get that gossip out. If that means just saying, hey, you got to change the subject, right? Hey, let's talk about something else. Like, what am I going to do to help that situation? I don't want to talk about it. Or, I don't care. Hey, Aaron said we shouldn't talk about this. Let's not do it. Throw me under the bus. I'm good. My car couldn't make it over a speed bump, but I'm okay being a speed bump. You only get that if you see what I drive around in. Confront your talebearer. Confrontation's okay when you do it the right way, y'all. It's okay to go and say, hey, what have you been saying? Let's straighten it out. You're messing with my life here, man. It's not even true. Quite all right to confront your talebearer. Here's a good one. Seek wise counsel. After all I've said about gossip, the Bible also does tell us that we do need to seek counsel. There's a difference. Counsel and gossip are not the same. Lucky for us, at the beginning of Proverbs, Solomon's got a message for us also. Proverbs 1:5 says, a wise man will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. So how do we tell the difference between wise counsel and gossip? There's some questions that you can ask yourself. Will the person with whom you are conferring be able to give you wise counsel? Are you talking with the right people? Are you taking into account what this person does, what the kind of life that this person lives? Do you consider this person a wise person that can actually help you through the situation? Is the driving force concern or curiosity? Are you truly concerned about what's going on? Or are you just wanting to get more information? These are real, like, heart check questions that you have to ask. They're not just simple, I'm concerned. I'd like to know what's going on. That's probably usually the answer, right? Are you seeking help or are you broadcasting someone's lurid secrets to get a response from people? Shock value is 90% of what my kids tell me. They say stuff just so I'll be like, oh, no way. I remember that feeling. I was like, I'm going to tell this guy and he's going to be blown away by what I'm fixing to tell him. We like that feeling. We like to excite people. Are you going and sharing these people's secrets so you can help them? Or just because you want to be heard? And the last one, are we actually looking for input or simply venting frustration? I think this is the one we fall into the most. Because life gets hard, amen? Life gets hard, and we just want someone that we can go and let our frustrations out. Let them know what's going on with this person, with that person, with this person, with that person. And if we're not careful, I mean, we got to be really careful. Your venting is going to turn into starting drama fires. So just, we're almost done here. Just a couple quick examples to further this this idea of the difference between wise conferral and gossip. Where the conferral person conferring or seeking counsel, where the conferral is motivated by the desire to help the person, the gossip is motivated by the desire to hurt the other person or make themselves look good. Again, it's a heart check. Where the conferral is talking to a person who they know that can help, the gossip is talking to whomever they want without concern or how it will affect those involved. Where a conferral carefully explains the context of the issue, a gossip's going to distort the truth. Think about that one. You really got to know what you're talking about. And the more you play that telephone game, the less you know what you're talking about. Worship team, now's a good time to come up. Where a conferral has a tattletale. How many, you remember that word, tattletale? Mom, he's being a tattletale. A conferral would have a tattletale. Oh, goodness gracious, that's backwards. Yo, we're going to leave that on that. You're just going to listen to my words on that one. Yo, listen to my word. Do not look at that. Do not look at that. Listen to me. Listen to my words. You all have to wake up and pay attention. Ready? Wake up and pay attention. Where a gossip is going to have a run, tell that attitude because a gossip needs to be heard. A gossip needs people to like them for what they know. They find power in their knowledge of other people's lives. And they're going to act on that. But when you're seeking conferral, when you're actually trying to help somebody, this is the most important thing of the day. We're going to the bottom line. You listen. You're acting in love. Don't look. Close your eyes. Okay. Bottom line. Do not start fires with your words. Put them out. Your words are powerful. They can start fires, but they can douse the biggest of flames. A few months back, Jason used a scene from the movie Fight Club. So fair game, brother. There we go. What's the first rule of Fight Club? Don't talk about Fight Club. Our first rule of CR is basically the same thing. Our first rule of Celebrate Recovery for our students is what is shared there stays there. This is such an important rule, not just for Celebrate Recovery, but for life. Because if you, keeping people's truths is the only way that you're going to keep their trust. It's the only way that they're going to hear truth. It's one of the only ways to find healing. And it's one of the only ways to stay healed. And at CR, we honor that rule, and I would like us to be a group that honors that rule as well. See, your friends and your family and your loved ones, they need someone that they can trust to keep their secrets. You need someone that you can trust to keep your secret. Someone that you can confide in, someone that you can seek counsel from, someone that you can cry with without the worry that they're going to go and broadcast that to the world. So do not take their words and use them to start fires, because you wouldn't want them to take your words and use them to start fires, correct? Instead, use your words to heal. Use your words to comfort. Use your words to explain. Use your words to build up. And most importantly, just like Jesus did, use your words to love people. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. And thank you that it is true. That God, we can go and we can repeat what you say, and we don't have to worry about if it's true or not. That you've given us your word so that we know we can walk in truth. And God, give us the spirit to be friends, to be moms, to be dads, to be brothers, to be sisters, to be friends that can be trusted. Father, no one's going to want to talk to someone that's going to go run and tell that. God, if I could be blunt, let me just ask you to keep our mouths shut. Remind us how important it is. Make us a church family that can trust each other. Make us a church family that can go out into the world and be people that can be trusted. Father, we need you for that. We need you to continually remind us every day that even though we want to seek that power, that you're really the only one that should have any of that power, because you're the only one that knows how to be responsible with it. Father, teach us that responsibility. Father, thank you for everything that you do. Thank you for the people in this room, the people that are watching, and anyone that will hear this message. God, I pray that you work on all of our hearts. Father, we love you and we praise you for everything you do. In Jesus' name.